So I appreciate the fact that you're with us, and appreciate again the work that Mark and Billis is doing in getting that speaker set up, and we have some folks on the parking lot with us that are listening to us, and we appreciate that very much. Someone had talked to me about recording the services or the preaching. I'll just tell you up front, I have no problem whatsoever. If you want to record the sermon, you want to pull out your recording devices, take notes. If you take notes on paper, if you want to take out your phone and record the service, I don't have any problem with that at all. I think some already do that. And so I'm just encouraged that folks think enough about the preaching to do that and want to do that. And so I appreciate you taking your devices out, and you feel free to do that. That's not intimidating on my part whatsoever. When you do the radio work and the TV program and the preaching, you kind of get used to being recorded. And so you don't feel like that's a problem for you to take those out and film and record and do whatever you want to do with along those lines. I appreciate you being willing to do that and study further. I want us to talk about, as I wrote on the board before us, about our hope. Our scripture reading was taken from Psalm 38:15, and Ethan did a good job in reading that. We appreciate his work in doing that. The word hope occurs at least 121 times if you use the King James Version of the Bible. It's a word that comes from an original Greek word that means expectation or confidence. And so the Bible has a lot to say about hope, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. So I want us to think this morning briefly about our hope. And the first one I want you to think about with me is the fact that the Bible says that our hope is an anchor. And you may be familiar with big boats, and some of you fish, and maybe even smaller boats use an anchor. And the reason those anchors are used is so it keeps them from drifting. And the Bible says that our hope is an anchor in Hebrews chapter 6 and in verse 19. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. If you didn't get an outline you wanted, then it's in the back. And you can take those and mark them up as you make your study. And so we have hope as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, that passage says. In Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 14, Paul, writing to those at Ephesus, says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the slaying men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Hope keeps us grounded, keeps us in place. It can be an anchor to us as we expect better things to come for God's people. There's things that we enjoy, by the way, as a child of God in this life. Spiritual blessings. Things that God bestows upon us as His children. That doesn't even come close to the eternal weight of glory. Eternal life that is prepared for those that have obeyed the gospel and lived faithful unto Him. And so we have as an anchor our hope. But also, our hope is eternal life. I want you to understand that the grave is not the end of man. You very well probably already understand that. Is it appointed unto men once to die, but after this to the judgment? Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. But our hope is of eternal life. And that's pointed out very simply in Titus chapter 1, verse 2. When the Bible says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie had promised before the world began. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, as Paul is giving some charges to those that are rich, he says in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and in verse 12, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many. Did you get that? Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on what? On eternal life. This life is not going to last forever. It's fleeting. It's just for a while. Temporary. But we fight the good fight of faith. Laying hold on eternal life, where we can live forever. And then when you drop down to verse 19, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on. What's your Bible say? Lay hold on eternal life. And so our hope is of eternal life. You want to live forever? You're not going to here, but you can. The soul of man will live forever for all eternity in the joys of heaven if you'll obey the gospel and live faithful according to it. Number three, our hope is by the resurrection of Christ. I hope you're aware of the fact that had Christ not arisen from the dead, we could not be saved. We could not have the remission of our past sins, the remission of or the forgiveness of sins that we commit even after we obey the gospel, as we repent of those and make confession to God in prayer, 1 John 1:9. But we could not have eternal life had Christ not rose from the dead. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 3, all these points, they're not guesswork. They come straight from the Bible as we think about what our hope is. In 1 Peter 1:3, the Bible says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living," or a lively, the King James Version says, "living hope," now watch this, "by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Amen. Now how do we have a living or a lively hope? By the resurrection. I'm thankful that Jesus died for our sins. I'm thankful that He was buried in fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. And I'm thankful that He arose from the dead. Are you? Amen. To never die again. That phrase, by the way, "by the resurrection," is only used three times in the New Testament. In this passage in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, and then in Romans chapter 1, verse 4, where the Bible says that Jesus declared with power to be the Son of God by the resurrection. And then in the book of 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, when he's talking about baptism, that the like figure or unto even baptism, the thoughts of now save us, the parentheses declare, the parenthetical statement, not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. Now watch this, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Baptism only saves by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Had He not risen from the dead, we cannot be buried with Him and resurrected with Him to arise to walk in newness of life. And so our hope is by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But also our hope is, number four, it's answerable. You can give an answer for it. You've got to be prepared to be able to give an answer for the hope that is in you. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." And I think about the passage over in the book of Colossians, where the Bible talks about, "Let your words always be seasoned with grace," or "be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may be able to give an answer to them that ask it," or "to give an answer to every man." You know, in order to give an answer for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, you've got to be able to know why you believe what you believe and know what the Bible says. Hopefully, every one of us know why we believe what we believe, but hopefully that belief is founded upon what the Bible says. If you believe something that you cannot put your finger on, you best not be believing it, let alone preach it or teach it to others. You agree with me?
Yes.
Be ready always to give an answer to every man. And so our hope is answerable. We can give an answer. We can give a defense for it. But also our hope is Jesus Christ. Notice, if you will, as we go back to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1. And notice as Paul is writing to young evangelist Timothy. I don't know how much younger Timothy was than Paul, but he refers to him as his son in 1 and 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 2 of both of those books. But notice what he says in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse 1. "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ," now watch this, "which is our what?" You might want to underscore it in your Bible, "which is our hope There is no hope in anyone else other than Christ. Not in you, not in me, not in some other man. Our hope is in Christ. He's the Son of God. He's the Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the Lamb of God. He's the one that redeemed mankind through His shed blood. In Acts 4:12, the Bible says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved." And the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2, that God put salvation, you know where? Where did God put salvation? God put salvation in you, me, no, in Christ. Again, that's 2 Timothy chapter 2 and then verse 10. When you come over to the book of Colossians chapter 1, verse 5, we read, for point number 6, that our hope is in heaven. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 5, the Bible says, "For the hope which is laid up for you on the earth." Is that what your book says? You know, the Jehovah's Witness believe that there's going to come a time when this earth is going to be redone, it's going to be revamped, and there's going to be paradise, and we're going to be here. That this is the new heaven, the new earth to expect. That's not so. Not if you believe the Bible. Now, you might very well believe the doctrine of the Jehovah's Witness. I hope you don't, because it's not founded on what the Bible says. But if you believe that doctrine, then you can't believe the Bible. You say, "Preacher, how can you say that?" Well, read the passage. Read verse 5. "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel." Folks, if this life were all that there was to it, we'd be of all men most miserable. Paul points out in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and in verse 19. In that passage, he's pointing out the fact that there is going to be a bodily resurrection, by the way. There is a resurrection to expect. Our hope is in heaven. But also, the Bible points out that our hope saves. Did you know that? We recently talked about, I made mention to you last week, and I had a conversation with some good folks about what saves. The Bible points out to us that there are a number of things that save, and we're not going to go through all of them in the lesson, but we're saved by grace, Ephesians chapter 2. We are saved by the blood of Christ, Ephesians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. We're saved by the gospel, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And when you look at in a number of other things that say that we are saved by, we're saved by the, again, by the Word, James chapter 1, verses 22 and 18 through 22. But also in Romans chapter 8, verse 24, the Bible says, "For by hope are we saved." Many other translations of the Bible, I use the King James Version, but several other versions of the Bible render that as "by this" or "in this hope we are saved." That is in the context of what he's talking about the redemption of the body, about salvation. He starts off Romans chapter 8. And in verse 1, by saying, "Now therefore there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." And he goes on. Probably verse 24 occurs in what is probably the most difficult part of Romans chapter 8. But nonetheless, "For in this," or "by this hope, we are saved." In the book of John chapter 5 verse 28, Jesus said, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear His voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." One last point. I told you a moment ago that Jesus gives our hope, that it's by Him that we have hope. And that's true. I pointed out to you in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, our hope is Jesus Christ. But also, the Bible points out that our hope is in Jesus. There are but two ways or places that you can die, generally speaking. When it comes your time to die and my time to die, we are either going to die in the Lord or we're going to die out of the Lord. It makes a very simple sermon to preach. I love to preach that sermon. You're going to die in the Lord or out of the Lord. Right into those of Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 13 beginning, Paul says, "But beloved, brethren, I'd not have you to be ignorant concerning them which are asleep," a metaphor of those that have died. "Those that are asleep, that you sorrow not." Now watch this. "Even as others which have no hope." Now think of that. "Even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him." Now folks, I want to tell you that the only way that you can have hope is to die in the Lord. If you die out of the Lord, you don't have hope. A lot of preachers today at a lot of funerals, probably known only unto God, have preached people into heaven and given a false sense of hope to families where there is no hope because their loved one died out of the Lord. Now how does one die out of the Lord? They don't obey the gospel. Someone says, "Preacher, I'm here this morning and I want to be in the Lord so that when I die, I can die in the Lord where I can have hope." Remember that passage in Revelation chapter 14, verse 13, when John said, "A voice from him said unto me," I heard a voice which said unto me, "Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and the works to follow them." The only way that you can die in the Lord is to be in the Lord when you die. See how simple that is? No use in complicating. So as preacher, how do I get in the Lord? Well, it's simple. In the book of Galatians chapter 3 and in verse 26, Paul says, "For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." Now here's the kicker, verse 27. "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. If you've never been baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, you're not in Him. You're not a child of God by faith. And if you depart this life in that condition, you'll have no hope." We want you to have hope, don't you? We want you to die in the Lord. Where, when He comes again and the resurrection takes place and the judgment takes place, you can be among those that are on the right that will hear those words, "Come, you blessed my Father." You need to take care of that this morning. Don't put it off. Yesterday is gone, tomorrow may never be. Now is the only time that you have. Jesus said upon one occasion, "I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." I want you to know your night's coming, my night's coming. When we'll no longer be able to do the things that we ought to be doing now while we have time and opportunity. You obey the gospel by hearing it, Romans 10 verse 17. Believing it, John 8, 24. Repenting of your sins, Luke 13, verses 3 and 5. Confessing your faith in Christ, as a eunuch did in Acts 8, 37, when he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And being baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2, 38. Maybe you have done that, but you turned your back on the Lord. You've not been faithful as you should. You've not been walking in the light as He would have you to walk. But you realize that. You want to come home. You want to be restored. Why not repent of your unfaithfulness? Make confession unto God in prayer. You must do that. We have His assurance that He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Don't delay. There's danger in delay. Come right now.